The recorder is started, and now I'm going to the Kindle. We've got a new look. I was just thinking, wow, this looks different, and then this thing shows up and says, we've got a new look. So it does look different, see? Okay, I'm sure I can figure it out. Let's see, just all the books look alike now. They don't have a difference in them. All right, in my Kindle, I am on page 146, NTI Luke 10. So you guys are near there. Where are you? 146? Okay, 146. And we're going to start with verses 1 to 24. Give no thought to what you are to do in the next moment of time. When that moment of time comes, ask me then what you are to do. I will answer you in that moment. For each moment brings with it its own opportunities for healing. But if you are thinking of another moment in this moment of time, you miss the opportunities that are given in the current moment. In this way, your healing will seem to take longer because you are not using the time you have been given for the purposes of healing. Think not for yourself. And this is the point that Jill was making just before we started. Remember that it is your thinking that has brought you to the point of needing healing. Relinquish your own thought and trade it for my thought. Now is the opportunity to trade. Lay down your own thought now, and I will fill you up with my thought. Go, filled with my thought, and do not question the thought that is given. When you are tempted to question and to once again find your own thought, remember the purpose of your journey. Joyously choose my thought again. You will seem to have many temptations. You will seem to forget my thoughts completely for a time. Do not let that distress you. The thinking you do apart from me cannot hurt you. It can only delay your healing for a little while. So when you find you have forgotten, shake off the past and the memory of your forgetfulness. Now is a new moment. You help yourself by choosing my thoughts again now. There is never backward movement on this journey. You can only walk forward on the path to healing with me. When you forget and seem to fail, you have not failed or slipped backwards. You have only stopped and stood in one place for a time. When you are ready to continue forward with me again, I am waiting beside you, ready to take your hand and go forward with you. So, this is very clearly a nice follow-on to NTI Luke chapter 9, because again, he's asking us not to think our thoughts of course being those stories, right? Not to think our thoughts, but instead to think his thoughts. But one point that's really brought up in paragraph 1 that's interesting is he's really talking about, trying to think of a good way to say it. It's what I call surrender. But he's really talking about asking now about how I am supposed to be now, how I am supposed to perceive now, how I am supposed to think now, what I am supposed to do now. And of course, if we pay any attention to ourselves at all, we will often notice that we are literally thinking about the future or the past. I mean, that's where we don't try and catch yourself thinking about now. You aren't going to be able to do it, because that's not what we do. We don't think about now, ever. You know, we may be thinking about 5 minutes from now. When I finish these dishes, I think I'm going to go do this, this, and this. Or we might think about 10 minutes ago. How dare he call me and say that, right? But we're not thinking about now. Thinking doesn't do that. It just doesn't, really. Try to catch yourself thinking about now. It doesn't happen. So, and as Jill pointed out before we started, spirit is natural until the thinking kicks in. And when the thinking kicks in, we leave what people might call now. we leave it and we go into the present or we go into the past and we're suddenly not here. Suddenly not here now. And, you know, we all have that experience. I know that there are, you know, driving, you know, moving around the house, doing dishes. I mean, you can do dishes without even noticing that you're doing the dishes, or driving without even noticing that you're driving, because your mind is somewhere else. So what he's really trying to teach us to do is use the practice of surrender, which is kind of an active practice. And active practices are helpful because the mind is active. And if you tried, at least if you're like me, again, you might not be, but if I try to be passively in the now, my active mind comes in and takes me out, right? So it's helpful to have what we could call active practices to keep us present, because they kind of counteract the active mind, right? You replace active with active until you no longer need to do that anymore. So surrender is one active practice that's taught in NTI. Of course, it's also taught in the teachings of Inner Ramana. The teachings of Inner Ramana adds another active practice, which is the mantra. So it adds a second practice to it. But if you're asking, what am I to do now? How am I to see this? How am I to respond? What you're really doing is you're training yourself to stay here. You know, right? Exactly. It's like it, you could call it a mind training if you wanted to. You're training yourself to stay here. And you're hooking in with the current moment. You're hooking in with what we call Holy Spirit when we use A Course in Miracles and when we use NTI. But really, you're hooking in with the present moment, universe-fed intuition. And at some point, that active practice of surrender is no longer necessary, because you're able to stay in that intuitive flow without having to have that active practice. But for most of us, if we aren't involved in that type of active practice, boy, we just actively go into the past or the future with the ego, and we're now out of spirit. So sometimes people misunderstand, no, most of the time people misunderstand the purpose of surrender. They don't understand that the purpose of surrender is simply to get you out of your thinking. It's another way of living without being in thinking, right? We imagine that surrender is so that we'll be in God's good favor. So that we're doing the right thing instead of the wrong thing. And that's not what surrender's about. And if we think that's what surrender's about, then we also have all of these hang-ups about surrender, and it makes it a lot tougher. But if you remember, the purpose of surrender is just to keep you in the present, you know, in touch with the present moment, both intuitively and whatever you're doing externally, but mostly intuitively. And it's just to keep you away from automatically drifting back into thinking. You won't have as much trouble with surrender, because it's actually very simple. You're just asking within. You're not asking some special God who might not love you or who might not listen to you because you're not worthy enough, right? You're not doing that. You're just asking within, present moment intuition, what am I to say? What am I to do? How am I to see this? What am I to think? And it's keeping you here now. And everyone can do it. The only reason people can't do it is because of their imagined stories about surrender. As soon as you imagine you're asking some holy, holier than thou, hard to reach Holy Spirit, you know, and that you might not be worthy enough to hear it, then you don't even trust your own intuition. In fact, it might come up very easily, but then you discount that as just me, right? That's just me. I'm not listening. I need something more, right? Something else, yeah. I need it, right. But it's really not that difficult. And in fact, just like any other skill, the way you get good at surrender is by continually practicing. And in fact, you know, what we're listening to here, this teaching is coming towards a mind that is not already practiced. Because one of the things this teaching is saying is, you're going to forget. You may forget for a very long time to ask, what am I to do now? How am I to see this? You're just going to go right back into your thinking. But then what it says is, don't worry about that. Just as soon as you remember, go back to the practice, right? It's saying you're not bad if you forgot for hours. You can't move backwards on the path if you forgot for days. you know? But as soon as you remember, as soon as you go, oh my gosh, I haven't been checking within, I've been in my thinking, then in that moment, that's when you go back to the practice. And again, you know, the more you practice, the more it becomes natural. Let's see. If we go to verses 25 to 37. To love God, to love yourself, and to love another is all the same. This is the one lesson I would have you learn. There is no difference among anyone or anything within your mind. It is all one within the mind of God. How would you learn this lesson? First, you must give up judgment. For when you judge, you separate and see differences. And in this seeing, you cannot see that it is all the same. Go within your mind and watch the process that you call thinking as it goes on there. What you will observe is that it is a constant process of dividing, judging, selecting, and specifying. It is the calculation that defines separateness. It is everything except the acceptance of truth. So before I move on, this is probably the first place in NTI that I recall as I'm sitting here where it clearly states that thinking is the problem. The funny thing is, as the scribe, I didn't get it. Anybody who knows me well knows that I was very attached to my thinking, just like most people are. You know, Holy Spirit could have asked me to give up 1,000 things and I probably would have done it, but not my thinking, because that was me, right? That's what gives me value. That's what keeps me safe. You know, the thinking is my most prized ability. And so because of that, even though all of NTI is about letting go of thinking, I didn't notice it until about NTI Revelation 19. Somewhere around there, it clicked. And now I go back and I read NTI and go, oh my God, that's all this book was about. It was letting go of thinking. In addition, when I first started coming into the course community with NTI and I started teaching this, the course community as a whole reacted the same way. At first, the whole idea of letting go of thinking acted like the most offensive thing anybody had ever heard of. It's true. There was a lot of anger. You're laughing, but you know it's true.
Yeah.
But what's happening now as a whole is that we all get this now, right? There's been some kind of a shift. We do understand that thinking is the problem. So that's nice. That's some kind of a big step forward we've taken in just the last few years, right?
You know, when I started the course, that's like 1978, I was afraid some evil force or something would take over my mind if I let my guard down.
Yeah, know? Kathy, I'm repeating for the recording that Kathy said when she first started the course in 78, there was this fear that some evil force was going to take over if she let her guard down. So, yeah, and I think that maybe other people had that thought as well. So, but now we're clearly seeing that thinking is the problem. But here what he's asking us to do, if we don't really realize that, is he's asking us, it's kind of funny, it's like we're going to turn our thinking on our thinking, is what he's asking us to do. He's asking us to look at our thinking and think about it. Isn't that funny? That's what he's asking us to do. Look at your thinking and think about it. Notice, you know, when you catch yourself thinking, stop and look at it. And what you're going to notice is that you were dividing. You know, if I'm thinking about Kathy, I'm immediately thinking about me and Kathy, right? And Kathy wants dot, 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 and I want dot, 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 and Kathy's wrong because of blah, 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 and I'm right because of blah, 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 and I think I need to say this to Kathy to convince her that I'm right. We got, you know, it's everything that he says here. It's dividing, judging, selecting, and specifying. That's exactly what I just did, right? And this is what happens in thinking all of the time, and that's all thinking is. So you could say that thinking is the apparatus that creates the perception of separation, right? And without thinking, there couldn't be separation. Yeah, it's very clear. So if we move on to sentence 13, this is why I have asked you to lay down your own thoughts. But I understand that before you choose to do so, you must come to see that which you think has value as being truly valueless. And remember, I told you that, although I didn't, if you had come up and asked me at that time, you know, Regina, what's most important to you? I probably would have said Jasmine. You know, Jasmine. That wasn't true, though. It just wasn't. What was most important to me was my thinking, my point of view. And that's true of everyone, you know, until it's not true anymore. That's true of everyone. And so what he is saying is, I'm asking you to let go of your thinking, but I know you're not going to do that until I'm able to prove to you that your thinking does not have the value you think it has. Right? I have to convince you of this, and I get that. So Holy Spirit, of course, knows what its job is. I'm going to start at 13 again. This is why I have asked you to lay down your own thoughts. But I understand that before you choose to do so, you must come to see that which you think has value as being truly valueless. And this is the case with your thoughts. For as long as you hold on to them and cherish them, you cannot see the truth that is before you now. They are like a veil that hides the light of heaven from your sight. Okay, one moment. I'm going to take a drink. Y'all can just contemplate that. All right, it continues. I ask this of you. Remember these famous words. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then remember, there is no division in this statement. It is all the same. It is all one love. So, again, the mind that this was being written to at the time, my mind, completely believing duality, would have seen, you know, God, me, and then, you know, neighbors, three. And this is asking me, one aspect, to love God, right, with all of me, and then to love you as much as I love me. And then it's saying very clearly, there's no division in this statement. There's no division. So if I'm understanding God to mean that up there, and I'm understanding me to mean this, and I'm understanding neighbors to mean that, I'm the one that's wrong. Because even though those different words are being used, there's no division in this statement, this says. And what's really interesting about that is that that means that really all I need to do is, I'm going to use the word learn, although learn isn't completely appropriate, but it's the best word that's coming to me right now. All I need to do is learn to love or be love. Because if there is no division, right, then whatever is going on here is what I'm doing to me, it's what I'm doing to you, and it's what I'm doing to God. I can't say, I love God, I hate Lynn. But I used to think I could, not Lynn, because I didn't know her then. But I used to think I could. I used to think, could think, I love God, I hate Lynn, you know? That's not possible. It's not possible because there's no such thing as division. So what this is really telling us is in order to honor what Jesus called the two most important commandments, what we have to do is learn to just be love. And of course, you know that's what we're doing by finding everything that's false in our mind and releasing it, because the love, as Jill pointed out, is natural. And the one primary obstacle that is in the way of our being love is our thinking. Because as soon as our thinking kicks in, it kicks in with that division. There's now a difference between me and Jill, right? There's, you know, Jill, whatever, me, whatever, you know, and there's something else there. I'm not being love. I'm never being love when I'm engrossed in divisive thinking. It's impossible. And if you pay close attention, you'll notice that. As soon as a story starts kicking into your mind, if you really look at it with all the self-honesty you have, you'll notice it may only be a hair, but there's a hair of what the Course would call grievance there. There's a hair of judgment there. There's at least a hair of wishing something was different, right? Because that's what thinking does. So when we're learning to be love, what that also means is we're learning not to listen to our thinking. The thinking may still seem to happen, but we're going to learn not to give it our attention, not to listen to it, not to value it, not to see it as me. That's really what we're here to do. And that does take practice because we are addicted. It takes practice. Yes, ma'am.
The practice that I've been given,
yes,
is to first notice the thought.
Yes.
Notice that I'm thinking, and then ask the Holy Spirit, show me why I want that thought. Show me why I want that thought. Because when the Holy Spirit shows you why you want that thought, you recognize immediately, I don't want that.
I don't want that. Right.
That's not what I want. Yeah. But thinking my own self that I want it, I'm going to deny it. I'm going to fight it. I'm going to argue with it. I'm going to go through all kinds of emotional crap with it. But if I just say, Holy Spirit, show me why I want that.
Yes.
Then he'll show me exactly why I want that. And when he does, it's really clear to me, oh, I was wrong. That's not what I want.
You know, and it is true that when we are caught up in our thinking, we are in that moment being deluded and distracted from our true self. And basically what Lynn is talking about is she has been shown a process that helps her realize that. You know, she's been shown a process that if she asks this question and she gets that answer, then she sees, wait a minute, that's not really me. You know, I don't really want that. You know, I don't really want, you know, this person to, I don't really want to show how low this person is, right? Make myself look good. That's not really what I want. But if she didn't stop and ask the question, she might think it was, you know? So she's stopping and asking the question, which is bringing her into the now. It's bringing her out of the story. It's bringing her into the now. She's getting able to see that clarity. It's saying, this is what you want. Her real self is now very clear because she's in the present moment. She's like, no, that's not what I want. And then she can drop it like a hotcake. Thank you. So, starting with 19 again. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, love your neighbor as yourself. And then remember, there is no division in this statement. It is all the same. It is all one love. See the thoughts in your mind that block this love from your experience, and then willingly lay them aside. Each time you do, a prayer is sent to heaven upon the wings of your willingness, asking that you may lay all judgment aside and see the truth of heaven. As you listen to my words and practice what I say, resistance will come up in your mind, telling you that doing all that I say is not rational or sensible. This thought will imply that you will somehow suffer or regret listening to me. When this thought comes, remember that I told you it would. Then place it aside and continue to listen to me. So there are all kinds of ways that this thought could come. It kind of reminds me of Peace Pilgrim said, the ego always knows the weakest spot in your armor, right? So if money is a weak spot for you, and you know, you can see the money running out or whatever, the thinking is going to tell you that is this is not a time to put me down, honey. You need to think. You need to figure your way out of this, right? You know, to put me down and think that some kind of clarity or some kind of, you know, miracle is going to happen without me, you're crazy, you know? So if money is your story, that's when it's going to happen. And if it's not money, then whatever your thing is, there's going to be something. There's going to be something when it's just going to come up and say, no, this is not the time to put down thinking. I have to think about this, right? My safety or my reputation or my something depends on it. And this Holy Spirit stuff is really fun to a point. But then there becomes a point when you got to get practical. And practical means thinking, okay? And it happens to everyone. There's not one of us that is not going to happen to. This is what I like to say is this is where the rubber meets the road. Because what Holy Spirit is telling us is that's nothing but a trick to get you right back into thinking again. And Spirit's saying, so when this happens, I want you to remember, I told you it was going to happen. I want you to recognize it for what it is. And I want you to choose not to follow that bait. Not to follow that bait. Not to go back into thinking, but to go right on with your trust. Go right on with your present moment intuition. You know, present moment intuition is amazing. Because if you can learn to stay there, it does lead you step by step right where you need to go. The problem is thinking wants to know what's going to happen next week or next month now, right? And present moment intuition doesn't tell you what's going to happen next week or next month. But if you can learn to trust present moment intuition, and I'm going to say this like five times because it's so hard. Present moment intuition, right? Present moment. You guys did it now. Not what am I going to do tonight. Not what am I going to do tomorrow. Now. But if you can learn to just trust, right now I'm to do this, right now I'm to do this, it always leads right where you need to go. Thinking is never here. Thinking is always tomorrow, next week, next summer, next year. And then we're off making plans, you know, without ever checking in with now. And this is how we... This is how we lose touch with who we are. And we lose touch with what is true. And what happens when we start following present moment intuition, if we can really get good at it, we start knowing we're not planning. We know we're not. And yet we're watching all the pieces fall into place. And we're going, oh my God, I bet everybody else thinks I planned that. Because it looks like it did. Not only that, it looks like I was brilliant in how I planned that. Right? I mean, I'm way smarter than I would have been if I'd actually planned it, you know? And that's when you start getting a sense, even from still a human point of view, you start getting a sense of the oneness. Because you see how everything fits, how everything falls together, right? But the trick is, and it really is, you know, a trick because we're addicted and we're afraid. The trick is to let go of what we think is our safety net, the thinking, and to learn to moving into that intuition and trusting it, even though it doesn't give us a whole lot of details about what's going to happen next week or next year, you know, and just learning to stay there. And one of the best symbols ever that somebody gave me when I was first starting to do this, they told me about an Indiana Jones movie. I've never even seen it. But apparently he had to go across this huge, like a gorge, like the Royal Gorge. It's like 1,000 feet down, and there's no bridge. Have you guys seen this? And so he has to step out, and he's like stepping out over 1,000 feet gorge, right? And just when it looks like he's going to fall, a stone appears, right? Or part of a bridge appears, right? And then he has to take the next step. And that's, in my experience, what this is like. And that's one reason we're so fearful, is because in the beginning, we don't really trust that that stone or that part of that bridge is going to appear when we step out. We think that when we step out, we're going to fall 1,000 feet. But if you just start doing it, what you learn is that never happens. Something always shows up. And then pretty soon, it's easier not to think. In fact, it's more fun not to think, you know? Because you've learned it's okay, and you've learned that it actually works out better than you would have, and if And of course, you're always relaxed, you're always happy, and then it's just fun. So I think that's all I have to say. I have recorded this. Why, did you want it recorded, huh? Yeah, let me go in. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to stop the recorder, and then we will go into, you know, our little bit of silence time, just contemplating what's been said, and then we'll come into discussion. All right? So the recorder is off, and it is indeed actually